Don't you quick break if folks want food?
Want to do a meal break, but feel free to get up and go get as we talk. So now, as we close out the Board of Directors meeting, we're going to roll into our Board of Governors meeting. We will have a short executive session afterwards, just a plan for time. But I will start with my president's report. It's kind of a continuation of last board meeting. One of my goals this year is to help our voluntary bar associations and our DC bar communities grow and thrive. And part of that is supporting them, is being present for them, making sure that they know that we value what they do for our community. So along the lines of what we've been trying to do all fall, Charles and I and Chad and other members of the Board of Governors have been attending a number of events this fall. We certainly, December brought a lot of holiday events and parties and end of year annual dinners. So just to tick off a couple, we attended the DC Bar Foundation Fall Reception, Washington Council of Lawyers Pro Bono Awards Ceremony, Neighborhood Legal Services Jazz for Justice event, UDC's 50th Anniversary Law Gala. We attended holiday parties for the Council for Court Excellence, the Hispanic Bar Association, the Washington Foreign Law Society, also our own DC Bar communities led by our DC Affairs community had a wonderful event here upstairs on our 8th floor terrace. We attended the Capital Area Muslim Bar Association 10th anniversary dinner. We attended the BADC 150th anniversary celebration, and we were pleased to be able to honor one of our own, to help honor one of our own board members, Karen Nicole, who received several recognitions over the course of the last 2 months. So we're very excited and very pleased and proud of Karen for that. And we were delighted to hear another of our board members, Fatima Merchant, who had a wonderful, was part of a wonderful panel presentation at the CAMBA 10th anniversary event just last week, just giving some wonderful insights and questions about, you know, how the constituents of CAMBA can advance and make sure that they grow professionally in our bar community. So just some great events. And one that was near and dear to my heart, we did a joint event, the DC Bar's Arts, Entertainment, Media, and Sports Law Community had a joint event with the Women's Bar Association celebrating the 10th anniversary of Title IX of the Education Act. And we had 60 registrants for the event. It was an in-person only event, which is a really wonderful registration number. Our turnout was a little lower because it was a horrible, rainy, traffic-y night. I think we had a little north of 30 attendees in person, but it was a great panel, really nice turnout. We were able to get some good sponsorships out of the event as well. So hopefully adding a little bit to our bottom line, helping it out, Sean. So it was a really busy month, but it was a really fun month. Things I think we'll dive down from here on for a little bit through January. But as always, welcome any board members who would like to join us at any of these events, or let us know if you might know of an event that Charles and I and Chad just hasn't hit our radar screen. But if you think we should be there, please let us know and we will do our best to be there. Also, in terms of programming and coming up in the new year, we have our Judicial and Bar Conference coming up on Friday, April 28th. Our theme, again, is Home Rule in D.C. at 50, looking back and looking forward. It will be at the Reagan Conference Center. We have some wonderful events planned. There's a joint committee on arrangements with the judiciary that plans the event. The judges typically take care of the morning sessions, the plenary session, the lunch speaker. The bar takes care of the afternoon sessions, and there will be a number, about 12 sessions, about probably six will run concurrently, all somehow addressing the theme of home rule at 50. Our bar program staff, Adriana, Zick, Darren, have done a wonderful job soliciting proposals for the different afternoon programs. There's some terrific programs on the table. Most of them are good to go. I think there are a couple that need a little tweaking, so we're reaching out to the proposers to kind of just tweak it a little to fall in line a little bit better with the theme. But there should be great programs in the afternoon. So I hope all of you are putting that date on your calendars, and that if you're at all free, we will see you then. Just a quick update also on our DEIA task force, which is another of our priorities for this year. As you may remember, our co-chairs are Esther Lim at Finnegan Henderson and Ben Wilson, who recently retired from Beverage and Diamond. The task force has met several times. There are a lot of discussion, a lot of great themes and ideas that have been a part of those meetings. So right now the task force is segregating out some working groups that we will be focusing on in the spring. And I think we will be looking for a few other folks to help us with those working groups. And I know there's some board members who have expressed interest in getting involved. So once we kind of solidify those working groups and who's leading them and the way forward, we may be reaching out to folks and seeing if they would like to get on board and help out. So, and I know I have some names down already. And if anyone wants to make sure you're on my list, please reach out and let me know, and we'll be sure to add to you. We continued our voluntary bar leadership meetings through November. We take a break in December, and then we start up again in January, remote through January, February, and I think we come back in person March through the end of the year. We've had great turnout from our voluntary bar leaders, both the in-person events and the virtual events. Our most recent one, we focused on presentations from various legal service providers. One in particular, November, we focused on Veterans Affairs. So we had just a really good meeting in November. Next, judicial vacancies. One of the attachments to our packet today was a letter from the Washington Council of Lawyers to Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, urging him to bring candidates for the DC Court of Appeals and Superior Court to a vote as quickly as possible. We joined into that along with the pro bono, the DC Bar, along with the Pro Bono Center, and a number of other organizations joined in to that letter that was sent. We also had a recent meeting with Chief Judge Anna Blackmun Rixey of the Court of Appeals, and just made known to her that we are willing and stand ready to do anything that she thinks would be helpful to make sure that we get traction on getting a vote on these nominations. I think so far she is very grateful for that support, knows that we're here and ready, and she's kind of seeing the landscape and how things work out, and knows that she can come to us if she needs any help. And then I think finally, the other thing I wanted to mention, and just so you all know, it is out there that the DC Bar leads to podcasts. They are really interesting. I've listened to a number of them. In fact, I participated in one recently. Pam Robinson, our Director of Communities, interviewed me, Candace Beck, the President of the Women's Bar Association, and Raul Andrews, the President of the Bar Association of DC, just about leadership, bar associations, future, past, how we got involved. It was really fun. I think it came off pretty well. I did listen to it even after I participated in it. But there are many ways that, you know, we can take advantage of that medium for marketing and just getting the word out about our bar associations, what the DC Bar does, certain any facet of the DC Bar. I know our law students community has been very active in doing podcasts. So if you have any ideas, suggestions, please reach out, and we're happy to entertain them. So, and I think with that, I am going to.
No, I just wanted to say thank you to Ellen and Charles so much for attending the Muslim the Canvas event. And I heard from so many in Canberra. We're small, voluntary bar association, and everybody was really excited. And I think it was the first time that the DC Bar president attended any of Canvas like annual meetings. And the National Association of Muslim Lawyers event conference is also going to be in DC next year. And Ellen and Charles both very graciously offered to potentially host, something in the DC Bar building. And I think that it was wonderful that you came. Your remarks were terrific, and everyone really appreciated it. So I just wanted to say that. And I'm sorry I'm not there in person. It's great to see everybody.
Thank you, Fatima. It was really fun. I think both Charles and I had a great time, and just meeting folks in our community, hearing about what their initiatives are and getting involved. And as you said, Fatima, that's where we found out about the national, you know, conference that's going to happen next fall, and perhaps partner, we can partner or host some of the events here at the bar building, which would be great. So thank you. And again, I encourage any of our board members to reach out to us. If there's an event happening, if you think we should be there, we would be delighted. So let us know. Any other questions or comments? All right, then I think we have a quick consent agenda. Really just our secretary's report. Hope everyone has had a chance to look through it quickly. And I will entertain if anyone would like to make a motion to approve our consent agenda. Second?
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Motion passed. And now, Sean, I will turn it back to you again for our DC Bar.
Thank you. Report. So this report summarizes the end of first quarter of FY23. Just as an FYI, we've added a new report to the financial package, which is a summary of CLE education, which consolidates the license fee and non-license fee funded activities. But here are some of the first quarter takeaways. The bar ended September with a deficit from operations of $792,000, which was better than what we budgeted by $182,000. Year-to-date revenue was $9.1 million, which was less than what was budgeted by 1%, and expenses were $9.9 million, which was also less than what we budgeted by 2%. We had less than budgeted results for admissions and registration. Less than budgeted results for admissions and registrations related to fewer participants in the mandatory course and CLE events, as well as lower than expected memberships for communities. License fees are slightly ahead compared to budget. The credit card surcharge revenue was less than we budgeted because our members transitioned to ACH as a method of payment, as well as a higher percentage of credit card payments than expected in May and June of the previous fiscal year. A decrease in net assets of $1.6 million is a result of the $792,000 deficit from operations, reduced by investment losses of $733,000. Folks probably know it was not a good quarter for the market, and $36,000 in client security fund disbursements. License fee funded activities for the first quarter shows a deficit of $948,000, which was better than what we budgeted by $24,000. Expenses were overall on budget. We received a 1 month premium holiday for our health insurance, which was reflected in fringe benefits. We continue to see savings attributable to the pandemic, including travel, food, beverage, supplies, building management costs, and staff development. Other fees and services expense reflect costs related to the building loans, refinancing, including the swap breakage costs. As was stated in the earlier memo, we did end up with favorable terms with the refinancing, but had to incur some upfront costs, which are fairly standard in a transaction like that. And we also had higher than budgeted revenue related to reinstatement and late fees. For non-license fee funded activities, communities had a deficit of $11,000 from operations, which was better than what was budgeted by $75,000. Renewals of communities memberships during license renewal lagged about 19% because of our inability to pre-populate the membership on the license renewal invoice online. This should be corrected by the next license renewal. In spite of that, communities was able to find significant expense savings to mitigate the revenue shortfall. CLE had a deficit of $26,000 from operations, which was $18,000 worse than budget. Lower participation rates due to the cancellation of in-person events resulted in registrations revenue coming in at 31% less than what was budgeted. Cost savings in all expense categories helped to eliminate the negative variance to budget per revenue, however. The overall CLE program, which includes a mandatory course in rules education, generated a surplus from operations of $16,000, which was $40,000 better than budget. Other non-license fee funded activities, which are primarily certificates of good standing and royalties related to member benefit affinity programs, generated a surplus of $192,000 from operations, which was $101,000 more than what we budgeted. Overall revenue was than expected by 10%, which includes $9,000 in studio revenue from outside clients, so that's being used, and $34,000 related to the room rental for the July bar exam. Coupled with lower than budgeted expenses by 55%, this drove the surplus for other non-license fee funded activities. We had $110 million in total assets. Our cash balance was $18 million, Our investment balance was close to $14 million at the end of September. Compared to the same time last year, our cash increased by about $600,000 and our investments decreased by about $3 million. The new balance of our building's mortgage, which comes due in August 2037, about 15 years, was $49.915 million. This new mortgage consolidates our two previous loans at a lower rate, provides for less restrictive loan covenants, and a larger working capital line of credit. So overall, a very wise decision to make that change. This concludes my report for the bar's performance for the first quarter of the fiscal year.
Thank you, Sean. Any questions for Sean?
I have a question. Hey, Sean, it's Janine. I wanted to go back to the community's revenue. I'm sorry, could you explain why the revenue is down again? I just wanted to make sure I heard you correctly.
I think the big driver was really the renewal process. So when people went to renew their dues, in the past, the system had pre-populated. You are a member of this community, that community, and then sort of carried that community's charge forward to your bottom line. And when the new system was implemented, it didn't populate your community's membership. So people sort of progressed forward to renewing their dues without necessarily renewing their community's membership. So communities is making a big push to really get people back into their community to pay their dues again and participate there. But going forward, the system will populate that. So that issue probably shouldn't happen again. It just helps people sort of continue with the membership they have been participating in all along.
Cool. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Ellen.
Absolutely, Jenny. Any other questions for Sean?
Just a comment. I know what I'm about to say is not popular in DC, you know, as you mentioned about CID, and of course, you know, with the pandemic and not having in-person events, but I was, as you were going through the numbers, I was thought, what if DC was a mandatory CLE? That, you know, our budget would be, I mean, the revenue out of CLE would be much better, but I know, you know, it's not popular.
No.
But I think, and Bob probably has the statistic, is it over half of our members belong to another jurisdiction?
The vast majority of our members.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, belong to more than one bar, where the other bar does require CLE. And actually, one of and Dennis can correct me if I'm wrong, but a big chunk of people who take our CLE courses are not members of the DC bar. But they need us for the credits, and because Dennis and his fabulous team can get accreditation in all these other jurisdictions that do require CLE, people like myself, who are members of the New York, New Jersey, and Texas bar, can take one course, as I did on demand, Diane's fabulous course, on returning to work in a post-pandemic environment, can get the necessary credits. So it's a terrific program. Also, from a historic perspective, there have been not one, but two votes of the membership on the question of whether or not the DC Court of Appeals should require CLE of DC bar members. It will not surprise you. In both votes, it was resoundingly rejected by the members. And the court has not forced it on our members. I think largely because the overwhelming majority of our members already have a CLE requirement. And to put in a whole nother verification and enforcement process will drive more participation in the CLE courses, but it would create a whole nother system to actually verify, check, enforce the CLE requirement. So I think that on balance, the court has decided to let sleeping dogs lie.
I think to your point, you know, it's a real opportunity for board members and others to really push the idea that if you take a DC bar CLE course, if you have mandatory CLE, like my wife, you know, in Virginia and California, that you can get credit in those states. And people don't tend to know that. You know? So I think it's a great opportunity for us to share that.
And when we participate in programs with the National Association of Bar Executives, National Council of Bar Presidents across the country, where they do have mandatory CLE, we push that all the time for that very reason. Now, some of those bars offer their own CLE, so a little bit of competition, but not all of them. So, and again, if you are a member of multiple bars, it can be tough to find one course that will meet all those jurisdictions. And Texas is a bit of an outlier. So in my case, it really does help to be able to style it or to go downstairs and have a course that meets all of those.
Absolutely.
And the quality of Celia is a testament to fantastic. I mean, just follow them on LinkedIn. Every day there's a new topic of discussion that they're going to offer. So, but I know CLE market is very saturated with also for-profit organizations.
That's a good thought, though, Cheyenne.
It's
always good.
It's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, it's always good to rethink and revisit things. Times may change. All right, any other questions for Sean? Okay, and Bob, I think we will turn to you for the CEO's report.
Okay, for those of you who are remote, you may be hearing what sounds like a printer running in the background here. It's not. It's the construction across the street, which has stopped at this very moment, probably for the CEO report. But just in case you're wondering, it's not you, it's not us, it's them outside. So on the operations front, the bar continues what we call our flexible operations. Folks are working both in the building and remotely. There have been an uptick in the number of in-person events and meetings and programs here at the bar, which is fantastic, including a staff holiday party, which was last week. And thanks to many of you for coming and joining us. It was fantastic. We had more than 100 folks in the conference center, which was the largest group I think we've had of staff since the pandemic began. So it was wonderful. Shout outs to Stacy and Ashley in meeting and head planning, and Kevin and the whole facilities team for turning out a really delicious and special day. And for those of you who were not there, you did not get the benefit of seeing me in my beautiful snowman outfit. We also recently hosted the government relations section of the National Association of Bar Executives. They were here in town for a series of meetings, and they wanted to see the building, and they wanted to know how we did our virtual programming, and they, because they come to DC often, because they are government relations folks, they were looking for spaces to do their events and their meetings. And so I think the DC Bar is becoming their new home. Just a reminder that the nominations committee has issued a call for candidates for the officers and members of the Board of Governors and delegates to the ABA. The deadline is January 13th. We have heard from all of the current board members who are eligible to run again or for another position. Thank you very much. We are continuing our recruiting efforts, and to the extent that you can and will are willing to reach out to your networks for candidates, we would appreciate it. The NomCom is actively recruiting on its own, but of course you are our best ambassadors for both the bar and the pro bono center, and we would appreciate your efforts in good finding really good and quality candidates. On the client security fund front, as you know, we work with the trustees of the Clients Security Fund to reimburse clients who suffered losses as a result of dishonest DC bar members. License fees are used to fund those reimbursements. But what you might not realize is that when the fund makes a payment or issues an award, the offending DC bar member has an obligation to reimburse the fund. Now, you might expect that the vast majority of these folks, really some of these folks, can't reimburse the fund, which is why they're in this position to begin with, but some can. So Kathleen Lewis, who runs the program, working with Iram and our executive office team, we sent out letters to all of this client security fund respondents who had claims approved by the trustees in the past 10 years. Thus far, that totals about $2.9 million worth of payouts. So far, those letters resulted in about $2,000 in restitution and payment plans from others for about $40,000. Last year, I think we recovered about $70,000 from just a couple of one-offs, and that we were just testing the waters to see how we would do. So it's terrific. That we're starting to recoup some of this money on behalf of our members who have paid their license fees to fund the fund. So the largest amount any particular respondent owes is about $650,000, and the smallest is $500. But we'll continue to update you periodically on how we're doing in our recovery efforts. So far, not so bad. For sending out a bunch of letters and getting back $40,000, not too bad. And that, you've already heard about the Judicial Bar Conference. And with that, I will turn it back over.
Great. Thank you, Bob. And I don't know if we, communities committee report is on our list. I don't know if Shari is here.
She's online.
She's online. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Shari, thank you for being with us. And we'll turn it to you now for our communities committee report.
Thank you. I'm Shari Brown. I'm, as of November 1st, the new communities committee chair. And I'm giving a report for the year ending June 30th of 2022. Which was largely prepared by the wonderful DC staff and Pam Robinson. During the year ending June, supported 146 webinars and only one in-person event, as you can see. And there were 18 practice specialties with three special focus communities. And I always have to say, what are those special focus? And those are DC public affairs and the young lawyers and practice management. We have over 18,500 communities members, and we had a variety of types of programmings from webcast, podcast, newsletter, the DC manuals, and electronic discussion. We are assisted by the 11-member communities committee, which I now chair, but previously was led by Felicia Batista, who is wonderful and supportive, who passed the baton in November to me for the 2022-23 fiscal year. And moving to fiscal issues, for 2021-22, as you can see, the revenue for communities was 1.669 and change, and expenses were under that. And there was a change in net assets from operations. And I asked Pam, this change in net assets from investments, I assume, is linked to the stock market and, investment portfolio. But our total net assets for the 12 months is down 139,656. I want to jump to the key accomplishments. For the DC Bar communities through June, you've already heard about the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Initiative and the DEI Summit, which was very successful on June 10th. And the community staff supported that as well as many of our communities. And I have suggested for the Board of Governors going forward, and I'll suggest it now, and I know Ben Wilson very well. I hope that we include on this new task force members of the LGBTQ community, because it is a huge portion of the young people coming in, and a lot of those issues need to be understood and addressed. And then moving on to the new membership strategy. Well, as you know, membership was down in 2021-22, and its strategy for 2021-22, it is to just have single fee, one community. I'm sorry, 2022-23, one fee, one community. And previously they had a program where you could have a premium membership and get two other memberships. And I've anecdotally heard from some people that this year, being able only to sign up for one community with your membership was a little disappointing. They were hoping that for next fiscal year, we would bring back something that would look like perhaps you pay for one membership and you could get a discount on 50% discount or whatever on other memberships. But apparently people liked having more than one community membership. And I know these are things that for next year, DC Bar community staff is looking at. In addition to DEI and working on membership issues, DC Bar community staff coordinated volunteers for the DC Cup Moot Court competition, which was held on February 18th, 2022. And I know some of you probably volunteered as judges. And it was apparently a wonderful event that was held. And then finally, some of the most popular community events were, as usual, the Tax Legislative and Regulatory Update Conference, which I assume will be the same because the tax laws continue to change and everyone wants to know what the changes are. And happily, the spring wellness retreat, which I hope will also be a success in 2022-23, estate and tax planning, tenant evictions, and the wealth management series, which I'm sure some of you saw some of the wonderful programming. I even registered for some, but unfortunately wasn't able to make them. And as the new communities committee chair, I recommended at our meeting in November that we have more direct engagement with the communities and their leadership. And we started that last week by attending a reception for providers, celebrating the providers of legal services and some of the law firms and nonprofits that the communities works with. And we just kind of invited ourselves to that because it was communities celebrating our providers. We also will be inviting communities leadership to our meetings and hope to have every community included in a meeting before our meetings end in July of 2023, because we'd like to hear from them. We'd like to know that we're very interested in them, and we want to know what their activities are and how we can facilitate some of those things. And I particularly feel strongly about this as a former co-chair of a community, the International Law Community. So I know that there is some curiosity about what the Communities Committee does and how they can assist our various communities. And so we're going to directly engage them. And as a result of that, we will be adding 4 more meetings this year. We've met last year every other month. This year, we will add 4 more meetings because we want to hear from a couple of communities every meeting, and that will necessarily extend our agendas. And with that, that is our wonderful Communities Committee. Good deeds, and thanks to Pamela Robinson and the DC Bar staff. And they are going to be hiring for some of the positions that are missing, and notwithstanding the fact that some of those people have departed for other things that the DC Bar staffing positions really kind of groom them for, we will, I understand, be hiring new staff positions so that the burden isn't so heavy on the DC staffers who work in the community with Candace now gone and Brittany. But we do have Pam, and she has told me that offers have been extended, and hopefully in January we'll be more to a full complement with the DC community staff. And with that, I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Shari, for what is truly a wonderful report on the community's activities over the past year. Are there any questions for Shari?
That I can answer as of November.
All right. Well, Shari, thank you again. And again, I do want to acknowledge the service of your predecessor, Felicia Batista, who did a wonderful job supporting our communities. And I also want to let you know that we heard your suggestion about making sure we include LGBTQ in our DEIA task force, and we are going to do so as we go forth and populate our working group. So thank you for making sure that we keep that on our radar screen.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. Mark's online. Okay. Next on our agenda, we have Mark Salzberg, who is here to present the report of the Regs Rules Board Procedures Committee. As everyone may remember, Mark was with us at our last meeting to present the report and the recommendations. These are recommendations that have come from the committee for changes to the DC Court of Appeals rules that follow on to the bylaws changes that we adopted last year. So, and as you recall, last board meeting, it was kind of presentation and information. This board meeting, we will be seeking a vote on these amendments. So Mark, with that, I will turn it over to you, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Ellen, and apologies for actually not being in there in person. I actually tried to get in, but I had an appointment this morning that ran long and I was concerned being late. So appearing telephonically or virtually one more time. As Ellen said, we are, can you hear me okay, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. As Ellen mentioned, this has been a multi-year project. I think we are close to being at the end of this project. The committee, with the help of bar staff and our parliamentarian, Nancy Sylvester, proposed changes to the DC Bar bylaws of membership manual. Excuse me. The objectives that were driving the committee throughout this entire process were to bring the rules and the bylaws up to date, to institute best practices, to make the documents easier to use for our constituency. The Board of Governors approved the revised bylaws, the membership manual, on April 12th. We now have proposed revisions to the rules governing the bar. And we came before the board in November to highlight some of the proposed revisions. And we are now asking the board for final approval, which will allow the board to petition the court to amend the rules. You've all been presented with a clean copy of the proposed rules along with the redline version. Excuse me. In large part, the modifications are meant to bring the three documents, the rules, the bylaws, the membership manual, in line. The rules, though, take precedence over the other documents. One of the things that's been driving the committee from the beginning is to make sure that topics that are more properly addressed in one document are in the document and not in extraneous documents. So we have removed, in our proposed amendments to these rules, we've removed topics that are more properly addressed and are addressed in the bylaws and the membership manual. We've modified language of the rules to be consistent. To be consistent with the other documents. We are prepared, I'm prepared to address each of the changes one by one. It really is up to the board and what the board thinks would be the most advantageous way of reviewing things. I would note that when we were here last month, there was a question concerning one of the amended bylaws, and that was the three members, non-lawyer members of the Board of Governors. We addressed that in an email back in, last month, we'll call it, on November 10th. Hopefully, I don't know if there are any follow-up questions to that, but hopefully that issue was addressed then. But as I said, we're prepared to go through all the changes or any changes that the board has a specific question, whatever the board would like to do.
My suggestion is that hopefully everyone has read the materials in the packet. My suggestion is we entertain questions on any portion of the amendments. And then Mark, you can address any questions. And then if there are none, we proceed to a vote. That sound good? Okay. All right. So are there any questions for Mark on any of the proposed amendments that are in your packet? All right.
I would note that when we met with Chief Judge Blackburn Rigsby yesterday, we did. She knew that this was coming. We reminded her that it was going to be coming soon, depending on how the board voted and that the board would be voting today. And so she's ready for whatever the board is going to provide to her to then go ahead and consider.
All right. Well, seeing no questions online and hearing none here in the room, would someone like to make a motion that we approve the proposed amendments to the DC Court of Appeals rules governing the bar as set forth in our materials?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion and second. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please signify by saying nay. All right, the ayes have it and the motion passes. Thank you, everyone. And Mark, I want to thank you and the committee for your tremendous work. As you said, this has been a multi-year process. I've only been involved since last year when I was started as president-elect. And I can say personally, this was an amazing committee, incredibly thoughtful, incredibly detailed, incredibly diligent. Our parliamentarian was a phenomenal help to us going forward. And Mark, you led us with efficiency and alacrity and all good focus on what we needed to focus on to make
the rules and the bylaws as we did last year, much more user-friendly for our members. So I want to thank you and the committee for all your great work.
Thank you, Ellen. And a lot of the thanks goes to the bar staff and to Nancy Sylvester, our parliamentarian. Without them, we couldn't have done this.
And a shout out to Iram Mirza, our general counsel, who was intimately involved in this effort and, along with Nancy, provided phenomenal support to the committee.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Mark. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. And now next up, Ray List.
So Ray is online.
Oh, he's online.
And if I may, I'll
yes.
A bit of an introduction.
Please go ahead.
So as everybody knows, the bar has a 5-year strategic plan, which sets forth all of our strategic priorities and objectives. And the current plan runs through 2025. Each year, at the beginning of each bar year, we identify a number of projects that we are undertaking in support of that strategic plan. And then we come back to you periodically to report on how we're doing. When I say that we, I mean Ray, because Ray, as the Director of Business Strategy, he helps keep us on track with all of these things. And at the end of the year, of course, we'll give you a final report on how we're doing. Since it's the quarterly meeting, I am pleased to present Ray, who will give you a quarterly report on how we're doing with these various projects.
Great, thanks a lot, Bob. Pleased to present our quarterly status of projects here. Can everyone hear me okay and see the PowerPoint?
We're all good.
Yes.
All right, great. So just a quick reminder on our 6 strategic priorities. So while these sort of outline what we've decided to focus on for the 5 years, inclusive of 2020 to 2025, each year, we take a look at what projects we will undertake in order to support each of these priorities. So underneath strategic priority 1, we have the following project: effectively support the DC Court of Appeals new legal regulatory reform task force. So this is a programs project. And the update that we have there is that the Global Legal Practice Committee recently submitted their findings to the court for their review. And this and the court's task force includes DC bar representatives. Also underneath strategic priority number 1, we have the following programs project: foster collaboration among the DC bar communities and the Women's Bar Association of DC to celebrate and advance understanding of the impact of Title IX on equal access to education and school-based sports programs in honor of the 50th anniversary of the historic civil rights law. And the update that we have there is that Pam Robinson and the communities group recently hosted a event on November 15th alongside WBA DC and AEMS community leaders. And I believe that we had something like 60 registrations. Moving on to priority 2, empowering individuals. So the project that we have here also under programs is to create a young lawyers community. And on September 22nd, that proposal was accepted by the Communities Committee, and we're ramping up to get that all set for next fiscal year, to launch in the next fiscal year. Also, priority 2, empowering individuals. So the project that we have is develop and present the nonprofit and small business board basics, employment series, and podcast programs, and that's the Pro Bono Center. And the update that we have here is after a 2-year hiatus, PBC relaunched its best practices in employment law with Crowell and Mooring in October. Also under priority 2, project is create through advocacy and justice clinic, a pilot project where the Pro Bono Center partners with law school clinics to place full representation or limited scope. And the update that we have here is that the Advocacy and Justice Clinic placed 13 full representation litigation matters with law school clinics in 2022. And you can see the breakdown there in these sub-bullets. Okay, before we move on to priority three, any questions on the projects that we've gone over so far and on the updates? Okay, strategic priority three, enhancing member value. So pro bono and IT recently, when I say recently, I mean yesterday, launched the Lidify case management system for pro bono's LTLAN program. And on to priority four, providing public service and professional excellence. So this is a financial target here for Pro Bono Center to raise $1 million for the 2023 President's Reception and increase the number of digital appeals by 30%. So Pro Bono is on track here and expects that most of the fundraising activities will commence in Q3. Also under priority four, IT has an important project here to update the telephone systems. And Katarina and Tim Ramlogan expect this to go live in January of next year. Okay, almost done. So priority five, fostering community and connections. So review and recommend changes to DC Bar volunteer descriptions and DC Bar Pro Bono Center and board committee charters and develop proposed guidelines for vetting volunteers. So this is the executive office under the leadership of our general counsel, Irem. And our update there is that Irem and Monica, our assistant general counsel, are drafting and reviewing charters for the 19 bar and board committees. That's a lot of charters. Strategic priority six, encouraging organizational and operational excellence, and also executive office here. So in collaboration with the Regs, Rules, and Board Procedures Committee, deliver proposed revisions of the DCCA rules governing the board to the Board of Governors. And the update here is that it was delivered to the board on November 8th and was scheduled for a vote and was voted on. Okay, strategic priority six, encouraging organizational operational excellence again. So another one under executive office is to review and recommend changes to the DC Bar Pro Bono Center and board governance policies as identified by the CEO or president of the board. And the update that we have here is that Irem and our chief financial officer, Marg, will recommend revisions to the budget policy and the procurement and contracting policy. And then we have two big updates from Katarina's IT team. So migrate the dcbar.org website. That was completed in September, and then replacing InReach LMS payment gateway with authorize.net, that was completed in Q1. And then last but certainly not least, Matt and Marg in September successfully completed the refinancing of the building mortgage and equipment loan on terms favorable to DC Bar. Any questions? Okay, that concludes the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. We really appreciate you walking us through the strategic priorities and how those are being implemented as we move forward. So thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks, Ellen.
Yeah. All right. Now we are going to move into executive session.
No, but I mean, okay. Some step will peel off, okay. But the
right.
Executive team will fail.
All right, great. The first item on our agenda for the executive session is our consent agenda. And I'm going to have a different focus. How is a new year? It is so great to see people in person. Those of you who could not make it, it's great to see you virtually. And I look forward to when we will be back together, whether as a full group or in our committee meetings. So thank you very much. All right.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Hi, everyone. Happy holidays.
Take a cupcake with
it. Yes, it's and have food.
It's our budget.
Yeah, you got it.
All my
yeah.
It is, but we're going to be right here.
You're welcome. I was going to
stay right here.
Exactly. I was going to
for the budget.
Yeah, we've got 1 hour.
Oh, yeah. You can get on this.
Stay with
me. Yeah.
You're going to move through.